time for Cigar Talk, the fastest growing cigar show in the nation.
Welcome back, Cigar Talk. I'm your host, Rob Jones. We got Bryant Falconer, co-host of Cigar Talk, in the studio with a brand new microphone donated.
Oh, donated.
donated by the Leaf. We're going to put their sticker on it. I don't have one handy today, or at least I don't know where it is.
It will identify the donator.
And we're going to put the Leaf's logo right there on it because they sponsored it, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Dude, and you know, I mean, Jay comes over, whew, watches the show.
Watches
I'm
taping.
Bitching about your mic. Mike. Actually, I'm bitching about you.
You don't sound like unjustifiably.
He sits over here. No, Corey sat over here.
And then I was like, oh, it's not. It is the mic.
Which I'd been saying forever.
So, thank you, The Leaf.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So, how's your week been, man?
Great.
What's been going on?
Everything. Everything good.
You're getting ready to move.
Yeah, we're in the process of moving stuff over there now. I was going to say, so moving stuff over there now.
Nice.
So it's like trying to figure out where to put things, what to put here, what to put there. But it's just, it's
a time involved.
It's
dude,
consuming.
I mean, you're going to be lucky to be done by Thanksgiving.
That's what I was thinking too, right around Thanksgiving.
I mean, that's your goal.
Yeah, and then putting new furniture in there. So it's like, the old stuff we got rid of. So it's like, okay, you put new, what do you want? And me and Larry was having a conversation earlier because I was looking at something. I showed you the picture. Yeah. I was like, I want this. And my wife's like, no, I don't want that. I was like, oh.
Here's what you do. You tell her, I want it to look just like the Leaf.
No.
We're going to get 2 70-inch TVs on each end of the room.
I love that. No. But I understand, man.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? Here's my philosophy on that. My wife says, hey, I want to get some new furniture. You know what I say? Get it.
Get it. Get it.
I don't want to be part of the process because, you know, your opinion doesn't mean shit.
At all.
And so I don't want to waste my time.
Yeah.
So my wife, what do you think of this? Looks great. Yeah. Well, what about this one? Looks great. Well, you're no help. Yup.
See, I'd get this look like, you could have stayed at home.
Oh, but I do that and then I don't have to go.
Yeah, I got
to go. I'm not going. I hate furniture shopping.
I hate shopping for anything except for myself.
Yeah. Well,
because I know what I'm going to get.
The Leaf.
I go get it and I come back out.
Or you should sit down and smoke.
Oh,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't envy you on the packing side because I know that it sucks.
It's forever.
But
it's
once you get it knocked out, and then comes the period where you get to make it your home.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Can't really start that process until you can
full.
Start getting comfortable.
Yep, until it's full.
Yeah, well, not full. Don't go
full.
Crazy full.
I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about full. You know, there's furniture in the living room. There's furniture in the dining room.
Right,
there's
you don't want an empty
bedroom.
Room.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, until it's full. Now, me, I don't like a lot of stuff. So when in this process of packing, I'm finding a lot of stuff. And I'm like, man, where did this come from? What is this? Immediately in the trash.
Oh, that's
the
same.
In the trash.
When we moved here, I was like, if I didn't even remember I had it, I don't need it.
Don't need it. Goodbye.
And so moving is a great opportunity to purge.
Oh, yes. And I love purging.
Yes. It is. It's just shedding things off of your shoulders. Feels great.
Move on. And that's how I look at it. Get rid of it. Move on.
Exactly. Move on. All right, man. Let's talk about what we're smoking. What are you smoking?
McAuliffe Sumatra. Do I need to tilt?
Something like that. There you go.
That way, there we go.
That's a great stick. It's my go-to. And what are you drinking?
Heaven Hill,
Ball and Bond.
Yes.
And it is, I mean, in fact, I gave some to Presley, and Presley had never had it. And there he go. And he was like, wow, this is actually really good. And I was like, yeah, it is. And
he said, I found a bourbon now.
Right.
He said, I never liked bourbon. He said, I found a bourbon now. I was like, yeah, this Heaven and Hill ain't playing, bro.
No. And you know what? That is a really good bourbon. Will you take the bottle big boy. So anyway, you know, he drinks a lot of like rum and tequilas and all these others. And, you know, I don't drink none of that. I've tried one of his rums before and it was good. But, you know, that's outside my comfort zone.
That's outside your wheelhouse.
I don't, you know what? I'm on a journey with bourbon. Uh-huh. I can't intermingle the journeys. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm like,
I'm walking one road.
Right.
I'm not on this one road. And then when I get done, I'll take the Y.
And then I'll either stay with bourbon or I'll do something else. But right now we're on this journey.
Staying on bourbon.
Yeah.
I got you.
So, okay, and I'm smoking the Davidoff Nicaraguan.
Wow.
Dude, good smoke. Wow. Good smoke. In fact, I almost saved one of these for you.
Keyword, almost.
This one was almost yours.
Almost. Almost. Almost.
And then I was like, eh.
But see, I did you a favor. I told you the truth about a stick. And then you almost me.
Truth about what stick?
I told you. I said you wouldn't like it.
Which one?
The one that we got.
Which one?
You called me saying you were right.
I don't like it like that.
You were right.
Oh, yeah. The stick that Zeka gave us.
He's like, you're right.
You're right. Zeka, dude, Zeka's not going to send me any more cigars.
Because of what you get ready to say.
Well, no. I mean, it wasn't a bad cigar. It just didn't do anything for me. But the thing about it is, I've been looking forward to smoking that cigar for like over a year and a half. And Zeka sends it to me because he knows I want to try it. Uh-huh. So, I mean, you know, I tried it and it was good.
But it wasn't.
But it didn't. And I, you know what? I had built up my expectations on how spectacular.
And it didn't measure up to that.
Right. Which, you know, I don't.
So you set that stick
I
up.
I did. But.
You set it up for fair.
I don't even know. Zeki, you'll have to send me a message when you hear this because I don't remember what the name of it is, but it's the one that I thought was RomaCraft that has the triangular, like, Aztec version, you know. Hieroglyphics.
It was geometry.
Yeah. It was geometrical.
Geometrical. Oh!
So.
That was not a little Bucky in
No, way. I pull out a few down then.
That was from down in Houston, wasn't it?
Yes. So, anyway. But this stick is really good.
There's no doubt.
Here's the thing. The first time I smoked this, it was very light.
Gotcha.
And I didn't enjoy it. Until it hit the second third, and then it went into overdrive.
Here I am.
Right. The first third, though, was like nothing.
It was playing.
I was just like,
tickling you.
Well, no, I thought, this is bullshit. Yeah.
Then
all of a sudden, it opens up, and it's like not pounded in your face. Uh-huh. It just opens up, and then you just drift into this really good earthiness, leather, you know, typical Nicaraguan tobacco.
That's correct.
So, anyway, I'm a big fan, and then I'm also drinking the whatever.
Heaven and Hill.
So, anyway, let's jump into our sponsors. We've got a couple here. I'm going to let you go first.
The Leaf. 100%. Thank you for the mic. But 1166 North 2nd. Anytime you're within 30 miles.
50.
He said 50. 50 miles of Abilene, man, it's worth the trip. You know, the Leaf has everything that you can look for when it comes to cigar accessories, pipes, pipe tobaccos, any type of accessories. They even have beard oil there. You saw that stuff up there behind them? The beard oil. And Jay
Do you Scott, use beard oil?
No.
I don't either. Have you ever tried it?
No.
I have. And
it didn't work.
No, I don't. You know what? What do you think it's supposed to do?
It's supposed to oil up your follicles, help your beard grow.
Well, I mean, I don't have a problem with that.
Oh, we know, dude. Anybody that has seen Rob in person understands he has no issue with hair.
Yeah.
On your face.
I'm like a Monchichi doll.
More than a Monchichi. Man, Monchichi. But anyway. If you're within 50 miles of the Leaf, show up, man. Saturday mornings, you might catch me, Rob, and Larry.
Oh, dude. I mean, there's a high, there's a high likelihood.
At the faculty meeting.
That, yeah, we have a faculty meeting on Saturday mornings at 10 a.m.
10 a.m.
And, you know, at your, there's always going to be one of us there. But, you know, life happens, work happens, you know, different things that don't always allow all of us to get there at the same time.
But however, you will find one of us there at that time. And, you know,
excuse me.
Call, if there are sticks that you don't have, call the Leaf. 9 times out of 10, they may have it. And they will ship it out to you. And as we know with Jay, he'll ship with Boveda packs. It will be
Boveda.
Boveda. It will be well packaged.
You said Boveda.
Boveda. Boveda. It will be well packaged. And what you get, you will enjoy.
Dude, everybody I know that orders from the Leaf has told me they are on it. It goes out that day. It's got the Boveda.
Yes, sir.
And they've never had issues.
None.
And, I mean, that's just... You guys know that. No, Jay is one of a kind owner,
come on.
I mean, I aspire to be 10% of what Jay is.
10%,
yeah.
I got you.
Mean, let's not be a overshooter
because we know you.
I've been an overachiever. There you go. I was like,
overachiever. Okay, what is that?
Well, back in Lubbock.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, guys, look down the show notes. We've got his phone number. You call up Jay. You'll hear from their staff, which is amazing.
Yes.
You've heard Scott on the show.
Yes.
Casey's been on the show.
Corey.
Yeah, Corey, Colton,
Alan,
Dwayne.
Alan, a long
I saw Alan today, which is, you know, I don't get to see him very much.
In his Tampa Bay jersey.
Yeah. He's pretty excited about that Tampa Bay because, you know, he lived through some hard times.
Yeah.
Is he old enough to remember they won a Super Bowl?
Yeah, because
he's 30 something.
Yeah, it was less than 30 years
ago. I know. He was about 12. Yeah. He was about 15.
So he remembers.
Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about McAuliffe.
As you see, I'm smoking a Sumatra right now.
Yeah, I mean,
my go-to with McAuliffe,
dude. And let me tell you what, if I'm a cigar shop owner, I want McAuliffe on my shelf.
Oh yes.
And the reason that I say that is because I know I can send someone to the McAuliffe section and they can pick out what they want based on what they have smoked before and what they like. And they're going to find what they want within that line.
Oh, yes.
Because they have a little bit of everything and it's always, always quality.
Oh, yes.
You know, I forgot who was at the Leaf earlier, but they were smoking. Tim.
Tim.
He was like, these are just good every time I get one. And I'm like, that's it, dude.
That quantifies McAuliffe.
Yeah. And
it's the same no matter what. And it's not the same as you say you just walking across. No, it's the same high quality every time.
Right.
Every time.
Every time. I mean, and if you haven't become an ambassador yet,
show notes, click and go.
But yeah, if you're a shop, you should definitely look at
getting,
because how nice is it to be like, see this section here? Any of it you smoke, it's going to be really good.
And it's from 4 to 42.
4 to 42. And a cigar in everyone's
wheelhouse
of flavor profiles. And a great opportunity to explore your palate.
Most definitely. Most definitely.
I know I explored their line, and my palate was
growing
tremendously.
Yes.
So, anyway, all right, man. Well, let's do our pick six.
Most definitely.
I'm going to let you go first.
As usual. First, in no particular order, it's going to be that Rocky Patel 60th anniversary that I smoked.
Nice.
Jay turned me on to that. I bought one.
I have not had one yet.
It is a bad stick. And
really?
I'm not talking about bad and bad. I'm talking about bad and good. This is one of them. You're like, okay, yeah. This is why Rocky Patel put his name on this one. So I just sit back, man, and it was earthy. I got a little cocoa and some coffee notes. And I was like, man, this is a bad stick, dude. This is a good stick. And it was just like, the more I smoked, the better it got to me. And I was like, man, I want another one of these.
Really?
I want another one of these. But that was the first one on my list. My second And my third come from the same company.
Hey, pull that back and down.
Back here.
No, this way.
And down. There we go. And they were both Tabaneros.
Oh.
And it the first one was the Torpedo Patriarca.
Oh, nice.
When I say...
Oh, dude, how was that?
It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth the price. But I'm a blue-collar worker, so I can't afford it a lot. But it goes on that list like, you know, like those Cabinet Sixes were for you. You know, when you want one and you want something that's a certain quality so you know what you're going to get and you want it to be a knockout.
And you just know. So it was that good.
And then my number three was the Robusto Patriarca.
Wow.
The box press. Oh, dude. Both of them. I was like, they didn't play.
Nice.
They didn't play. They didn't play.
Whew.
They didn't play. I had to try them. You know, you got to try it once.
Right.
And I was like, this is one of them things, man. These are them sticks.
When you want to treat yourself.
That's what I'm going to grab.
Right.
And then I got to make a decision. Which one am I going to grab? Which one am I going to grab? But I truly appreciate it, though, man. Both of those sticks, Tabanero ain't playing.
They're not playing. Absolutely know that I think they're lights out.
They in the game.
And I've seen a lot of people at the Leaf smoking them.
Yes.
And, dude, everybody that I've been around that smoked them has just like, damn.
Yep.
So if
those are my three.
Well, I mean, yeah, we'll get to Tabanero here in a bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a great three.
Yeah.
Right out the gate, and this is my fourth one of these.
And he said almost. But it's his fourth one.
This is my fourth one of these.
I couldn't even get 25%
of it. You know what?
What?
You almost made 25%. You were this freaking close.
23. And I'm not going to give it to you. I got you, bro.
Yeah. It was like, you want to hear the funny part, though, about that? We'll get into this a little bit later, guys. But I had one of my vacations this week, and me and my good cousin that we've been friends since we were little, and Tim was, we all went out to an Airbnb, and I bought these so that we could all enjoy a really
good
high-end cigar together.
Yeah.
They didn't get one either.
So I'm not the only one that you shafted.
I smoked 25%. One and was like,
nope,
that's not happening. Because, and I mean, my cousin smokes maybe two cigars in 3 months.
So you give him something that's going to be spectacular then.
No, he would not even know he was smoking something that spectacular.
Because he didn't even get it.
Well, he wouldn't know, even if he did.
You don't know.
I do know. I'd look over the ashtray, and it's like halfway through, and then I got to slap someone up the side.
Yeah,
you know.
You'd be upset then.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's my cigar number one.
Would you tell them what it is? Because they may not remember.
Oh, I'm sorry. It is the... Davidoff Nicaragua, and this is the Diademus.
Gotcha.
So, great smoke.
Yes, it is.
Oof, sounded like a little rain.
Coming again.
Yeah. So, anyway, then number two on this week's list is the Padron 1926 90th.
Gosh.
In the tube.
Gosh, I haven't smoked mine yet.
You haven't yet?
I'm waiting until we get in the house, man.
Dude, let me tell you something. So while we were on our little trip, Tim pulls out a Padron 1926. And, like, that's not Tim. Mm. You know what I mean? I was just kind of like, what? His wife bought it for him for his anniversary.
Ah.
And so he saved it and brought it on the trip. And I was just like, dude, that's showing out.
Yep.
I was like, I got to go get mine.
You're not going to be the only one.
So, anyway, that was my number two this week. And then I'm going to go back a few weeks, and I did enjoy at the shop yesterday the Salvation Robusto.
Yeah.
I think it's like a Robusto. Yes, a Robusto. But Black Trading Company knocks it out of the park again.
They're not playing with that, dude, man. It's so many...
And it's so funny that you have a company that's making a great cigar, but everybody who's making great cigars are making different cigars.
Yeah.
So
it's a new game now, man.
You have fantastic sticks across the spectrum. Yes. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes.
And so...
And people, those that were from, you know, like older than us, they were stuck on certain brands. Now we are a part of the boutique era, and we're finding gems everywhere.
Oh, and absolutely.
Every Ventola. And, you know, it's just like, what is coming out next?
There's no telling.
Yeah.
There's no telling.
What's coming out next?
I did, you know what cigar I did give to a big boy?
What's that? He got serious, folks. You can see
it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it.
A turd? You didn't give him a turd. Right?
No. Tim smoked the Romacraft Candela.
Did he like it?
He did.
Ah.
And he toasted it, you know.
Fully.
And I was like, there's that funky smell. Yeah. That's that.
That Candela smell.
And he said, this smells like hay.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, yeah, because it's green.
It's still green.
But no, he really liked it.
Good.
And good. I didn't want to waste it. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, hey, you want to try this? And he was like, yeah, I've never had one of those.
And that's good because he got to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Versus he's sitting there looking at it like, I'm never going to smoke it. So somebody got to enjoy it. That's cool, man. And then you gave it to him.
Yeah.
That lets you know Tim been your friend forever.
Dude, when we go out there.
Hint, hint.
I took the Octador. I took the Octador.
Out there with you.
With me.
Cool.
Set it on the table.
And I said,
whatever you want out of there is good. Take it. And of course, you know, Mark's only good for one cigar a day.
Got you.
And the first day he had two. Wow. So that like,
yeah.
I'd be like, you know, funny thing, I'd be like, hey, man, you want to smoke with us? He's like, nah, I'm good.
But he smoked two of them.
Yeah, that but that,
you,
that
you
was.
You took the quality out there.
That was over the top for him.
Yeah.
So anyway, no, we had a good time though. And I got to tell you, man, if anybody is looking to come to Abilene for a staycation type thing.
Gotcha.
The Airbnb called the Dugout in Tuscola area
is worth it.
Dude.
Okay.
They had it set up so nice for if you're outdoor. I mean, they don't let you smoke inside, but, which I don't want to.
But tell them what they gave you all as presents.
Yeah. When we arrived, we'd stayed there before.
Uh-huh.
And when we arrived there, on the table was four of those glasses,
these,
the sniffer glasses, uh-huh, and a sampler of four different cigars.
So they gave you all four different cigars.
Right. Well, they gave all of us the four. But I mean, dude.
Looking out for you.
What a touch of class. Yeah, like, yeah. Hey, man.
I know who's here.
And you want to hear the funny part, though?
What's that?
So all the cigars were really good choices, by the way. But when we were leaving this morning, the people who own it, they just live like half a mile down the road, okay, not even that far. And as I'm pulling up to the top of the hill, the wife is out there. And I mean, she's elderly,
okay, but
active. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she stops us and she's like, we're talking. I said, hey, thank you so much. Everything was wonderful.
Uh-huh.
And she said, did you guys enjoy the pumpkin spice log I made y'all? And we were like, oh, we saw that in there, but we didn't know who it was, so we didn't eat it. She's like, oh, no, I made that just for y'all. And she goes, I wrote that in the note that was under the cigars. And I said, ma'am, you know men don't read. And she goes, that's exactly what my husband said.
We saw cigars and everything else was oblivious.
Yeah, the cigars were on top of this letter that had been typed out.
You should have put the letter on top of the cigars.
So anyway, I made Tim go back and get the log.
Yeah, you go get the log.
No, man, it was great people. And it's just such a relaxing place. But if you go on Airbnb and look, I mean, and they're not even sponsoring the show, but I'm telling you right now,
it's worth it.
That's a great place to stay if you love hanging out and just smoking cigars.
Gotcha.
So, well, anyway, let's move on. What else you been got going on this week?
I got a joke, man.
Oh.
This is not a joke that's going to get us banned anywhere.
Okay.
It's a question. Who was the best babysitter in the Bible?
Best babysitter in the Bible?
In the Bible.
Phew. I don't know of any babysitters in the Bible. So.
How about you, Larry?
You got me.
Y'all want to know the answer?
Yeah.
David, because he rocked Goliath to sleep.
Oh, man. Wow.
People that understand. People that understand the Bible know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking
about.
He
rocked them to sleep.
It's just not funny.
To you.
No, to anyone.
If I said something dealing with.
Let me tell you guys that are listening to the show.
No, we can't do your jokes. No, we'll be done.
What I'm going to say
is. We'll be done.
Any of you that just laughed out loud, email me, please. And next week, I'll let you know how many people emailed me.
Even if it's one, it's enough.
I don't think it's any.
Oh, it's going to be.
Unless it's you.
I laughed out loud when I said it. I just couldn't do it literally because then the meter would have went all the way up. Now, what's yours? Because you said you had one, too. Okay, Lord.
No.
Bless me.
I'm not telling that joke.
Okay, thank you.
So, how's that heaven and hell?
Man, you know it's good. Aromatic. It's not too hot. It's just, it's perfect. It's perfect with the Sumatra, though. It's perfect.
Is it really?
Yeah, they're playing off each other very well.
This is supposed to resemble the same bourbon that they were making in 1939.
And my grandmother was a teenager then. She was a teenager.
Yeah, so was mine.
That's a
dude,
long time.
Dude, did you ever
ago.
I don't know if you had this opportunity, but my grandmother had kept like diaries and you know, after she passed away, I mean, she probably had like 30 uh-huh. journals.
So you were able to read a lot of things that she did. My grandmother was a diary. All you had to do, when any of us, any of her grandchildren, me and my cousins came around, we would sit and just listen to her talk about things. It was like they say in the village, you had that historian in the village, and that's who she was. She knew everything about everybody in the family. And she would tell us things. She's like, wow. Take us on trips with stuff. Like even with my great-grandfather, her father, was the first black engineer in Illinois. And the railroad tracks used to come through their backyard.
Wow.
That's, you know, because that's the only house they could afford. It had the railroad track. And on his lunch breaks, he'd bring his engine up, get off, come in and eat lunch, get back on it and go back to the yard.
Nice.
I'm sitting back thinking about this. I'm like, wow, man.
Well, the cool thing, like, I thought whenever I read some of these was, damn, grandma.
Oh, no.
She partied.
Oh, okay.
Dude, well, I mean, you think about it. During World War II.
Yeah. You had to have
like
some,
the
some
ladies
joy.
Going to the officer clubs and partying.
Because you had to find something to enjoy back then. Because
life
and when
was
I hard.
Say, when I say ladies, I mean, she was like 15.
Well, back.
Right. Back then. Yeah. I mean, she was married at 16.
Yeah. Back then, they married early. Early.
And could you imagine?
And I wouldn't have, me and 15 or 16 married. Nah, bro. I'd have been divorced at 16 and a half. My mindset back then, no.
I wouldn't have had to rent a backhoe.
No. Not me. Uh-uh.
Yeah. Ooh. I mean, that was, I got married at 26.
I got married at 24.
Yeah. 24. So, I mean, I was like, no, not ready for that. But. Well, hey, guys, we're going to take a quick little break here and probably light up some new sticks and talk about some things that, you know, coming up. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after the break.
I'd love to see you on a pair of skates.
Oh, you would, too. It would be something for you to feast on. So anyway, guys, we got a special guest. We told you we had a mystery guest, and now the mystery unfolds. We've got Casey, the Sunshine Man. Sunshine man, sunshine, you know, shine. How you doing, brother?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Good, man. Good to have you back.
I know it's been a while.
It has been. You know, you've been on our here show twice as a guest, once for a music episode and then once for a cooking episode.
Yes, and I feel like I filled in for Bryant one time, too.
Oh, that is correct.
I mean, we're talking back in the, like, first 50 episodes, like, time frame.
Yeah, I'm thinking, so I still think it's twice. I think you filled in for him once, and we talked about cooking and smoking and stuff.
Yeah.
And then we did the music episode with all three of us.
Absolutely.
That was a blast.
That was
a We'll have to do something like that again, because before the interview started going, guys, I was talking to Casey about how his musical taste and knowledge is very expansive. And how old are you again? You're like 35.
38.
So, I mean, I still consider you to be a young man. And one of the reasons is because you're so much younger than me. But that being said, I mean, you know music that I know that's older than me. So that impresses me. You know what I mean? You're not just stuck in whatever generational whatever you had.
Right. But I'm starting to come up on that point where I think everybody gets to that point around the time they turn 40 where they it's the new stuff. It's harder to keep up with and everything. Like, I couldn't tell you the difference between a Ariana Grande and a Selena Gomez or anything like that. But
no, I don't know anything. You know what? When it comes to new artists, there's very few that I keep up with. And I mean, it's just a small handful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But put my hand down.
You were like, we don't care about Rob's face.
You know, I'm trying to smoke a cigar here.
Hey, make yourself comfortable.
Well, thank you. But no, music's always been a big part of me and who I am, you know.
Absolutely. You remember, hey, pull that mic in a little bit.
Oh, I'll pull the mic in a little bit. Come on down here, big boy.
There you go. Perfect.
Yeah, but growing up, driving around the state, you know, and you got pops over there quizzing you. Who sings this song, you know?
Oh, that was the game of the day. Now, how old is your dad?
My dad is 63.
Okay, so he's only 11 years older than me. Right. So, I mean, he grew up in that same era I did.
Yeah.
You know, he was a kid in the 70s.
Well, and I was still a kid before it was all the, you know, iPads and bullshit, you know.
Right, right.
Well, you're on a road trip, that's all you have is name that tune.
Right. I had a single speaker boombox that had an 8-track slot in the side. That was the shit, dude. I wore the fuck out of Queen's Greatest Hits.
Oh, I believe you.
Have you ever listened to that album?
Oh, absolutely.
That is a great album.
Oh, it's fantastic. And I mean, even when it came out on CD, it was the 2-album thing, you know, and it had, you know, just spanned, what, 20-something years of their music. Yeah, fantastic tunes and everything from We Are the Champions to a little Radio Gaga, you know? Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And I was trying, there was another one in there that I was like, oh, Flash Gordon. Flash.
Yeah.
Savior of the Universe.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that was a great collection of music. And I had that when I was a kid. In fact, I remember riding the Greyhound bus from Lubbock to Abilene when I was like 8, listening to that. But I couldn't have it turned up loud. I just, right. You know, and you're on a bus.
Absolutely.
But it was awesome.
No, I remember as a kid, my parents had on cassette the Beatles anthology, you know, the blue one, the yellow one, the red one.
Yeah, in fact, we were talking, me and Brian, about, you know, the difference of being into the Beatles. Like, he never got into that. And I was like, dude, it was deep. You know,
it was for a lot of people. And that blue album, the blue one was so much, that was my favorite because this is all the later stuff, is those last few years.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You got the stuff from Rubber Soul. Yeah, that's where it was at Beatles wise for me. But
nice.
You know, just like every other kid, I'm thumbing through my dad's record collection and stuff growing up. I'm picking out albums to listen to based on the album cover, right?
Right.
So, like, do you remember those Molly Hatchet album covers with the Viking art?
Molly Hatchet's artwork made them look like they were way harder than they were.
Oh, absolutely. Because
they were more of a like a southern rock band. But if you saw that logo today or that artwork, you'd be like, oh, that's like Slayer, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, like Dio or something. It's like about to be playing. No, it's a, you know, good old southern rock, as it were. But yeah, those like Crosby, Stills, and Nash back in my day.
Big fan, big fan.
I mean, and still, like, I got the XM on right now. The Billy Joel channel's back, and that's what I've been jamming to recently. Love Billy Joel.
Yeah, classic. That's, I mean, so many different styles of hits throughout different decades.
Oh, absolutely. And Billy Joel hasn't put out a pop music album since I was a kid. I mean, I think 92 or 93, whenever River of Dreams came out, that was his last album he put out, like, you know.
Well, I mean, how cool is it that you haven't put out music in 30 years and you're still touring?
Oh, yeah. He's got that standing residency at Madison Square Garden. They've done like 175 shows there. It's nuts.
Dude, I watched an interview the other day with Stevie Van Zandt. You know who that is?
Oh, yeah. From the Easter Egg Band, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And dude's a very interesting guy, to say the least.
Right? Yeah.
He was really like a political... you know, what would you call it? I don't even know. Rah-rah, whatever.
Activist?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Political activist back in his 70s. And anyway, I mean, he's still fighting the establishment. You know what I mean? It was like that 60s mentality he's carried all the way into 2021.
Absolutely. Yeah, I saw a similar deal. I saw an interview with Peter Frampton last night.
Really?
I mean, and... just talk about how he had been a backup guitarist, struck out his own, did the Frampton Comes Alive thing, and, I mean, best-selling live album of all time. Then back to he's been playing with, like, the Ringo's All-Star Band and stuff as of late, just back jamming the guitar, and he's still at it. It's just cool as hell to me. He just put out a book. I think that's what a lot of these guys are doing now is they're writing books about their time on the road and everything.
Well, you know, Stevie Van Zandt just wrote one.
Yeah.
And after them talking a little bit about it, I was like, I got to put that one on my list, man. Because it sounded like it was, you know, through his dark times. And he was like, you know, if you lived in the 60s and 70s, everyone had a dark time. So I'm not like trying to say, oh, poor me. I'm just letting you know this is what turned into this and how I got where I am. And, you know, because he was so political, he really didn't get popular as a solo artist.
Mm-hmm.
People just kind of was like, he's being too political.
Oh, yeah. But then he parlayed that everything into, he did some acting and everything.
Well, I mean, he's still doing acting. Yeah. Now, I mean, he did The Sopranos forever. Mm-hmm. And it was funny because I didn't even recognize him at all. Did you?
Well, no, because you're used to him having that bandana on his head and everything when he's out rocking with Bruce. So.
And he had that hair slick back. I mean, that was a great show. Great show.
Yeah. Have you seen the, they did that, what's it? They did a little, yeah.
And is that the prequel?
Yeah, it's a prequel deal.
When is that coming out? Is that a movie?
I think it just dropped, actually, on the HBO Plus.
Oh, really?
Or Max, yeah.
Nice. I have to check that one out.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, but it's on my docket to watch.
Okay. So, tell us what you've been doing since the last time, man. You've had a big journey. I mean, dude, you moved to Albuquerque. Mm-hmm.
Moved back.
Got married.
Yeah, it's been kind of a whirlwind for me. I mean, moved out to Albuquerque, started a business. I think one of the times I was on the show, I'd come down from Albuquerque.
That's when you're doing the sausage and everything.
Had the sausage making business. Then decided I was going to marry my now wife, and she wasn't interested in moving to New Mexico, so I had to come back to Texas.
Oh, see, I didn't know you knew her then.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So it was a long distance thing. We were, and she's fantastic. My wife is a brilliant, brilliant, beautiful woman. And I am
literally. Yeah, how did y'all meet?
We met at a Philharmonic event, believe it or not. Here for the local Abilene Philharmonic, a little fundraiser. Some mutual friends introduced us. So
basically, what happened was she was there to support, and you were there for free drinks.
I was catering the event. Ah, yeah,
I knew you had to have some tie into the refreshment area.
Absolutely. And it was our friends who were doing the drinks who introduced the two of us. So, yeah. worked out. I'd say it worked out well. I'm back here.
For you.
Yeah.
I don't know about her.
For you, too. I mean, I'm back on the show now. So, hey.
Well, we get to see you way more.
Absolutely. But moved back, sold the company at the beginning of 2020 and didn't realize what a blessing that ended
up
being.
Was going to be, right.
I mean, you know, a couple months before the old pandemic here hit, and so many of my buddies in the restaurant industry have just been suffering because of that. I mean, just one, all the shutdowns last year, two, trying to find good help and labor now that things are opening back up.
You know, I was talking to a friend of mine that is up in Fort Worth, and I'm not going to name any names, but he told me that there was a Mexican restaurant up there in Fort Worth, and you know how everybody's having a hard time hiring people?
Yeah.
You know what he did?
What's that?
If you're a waiter or waitress, your pay is $40 an hour, and you don't get tips.
Hey. That's a way to go about it. I mean, that's definitely a way to go about it. Now,
now some places you might make more than $40 an hour in tips, but if you're guaranteed
$40 an hour, $4 an hour.
Right. I mean, because a lot of people weren't going out to eat. And so you may not make that much money in tips. But now that you're guaranteed, and I think they're not changing. They're that's just how they're going to do it from now on.
That's an interesting way to go about it. It's, you know, you have to wonder the other side of that. If customers start finding out, are they going to continue tipping to where that helps supplement the what the restaurant's paying these people? Because that labor cost can get real out of hand real quick, I would imagine, especially, you know, if you're a small mom and pop place.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't think that the company was expecting tips.
Yeah. Well,
they raised the prices accordingly with their food, and that's just the business model they're going with.
Man.
I mean, but think about it. If I'm going to go in and spend $50 and I'm going to tip 10, so now my meal is $60.
Mm-hmm.
If they just charge me $60, it's a wash.
Very true. I mean, yeah. But there's all the other elements that go into that, like getting the ticket to that $60 threshold, right? You know, lots of times in restaurants, you're training your staff to what they call upsell, you know? So you come in planning to just get a burger and go, right? Your job as a server is to sell you the appetizer to go with it first. Instead of getting you on the burger, get you on the steak, you know?
And let me tell you the downfall of most servers.
What's that?
And I'm not knocking, because I know there's some that are really good. In fact, I had one at Abuelo's the other day that blew me the fuck away.
Really?
Dude, sit down. This dude comes in, bam, 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 just taking care of everything. Mr. Politeness knows his shit. And I said, young man, you are raising the bar so freaking high that nobody else in here is going to be able to compete with that. And he was like, I just moved here from San Antonio. And I was like, bam, there it is right there.
Right. Yeah. And how lucky for them. I mean, finding good talent like that, especially on the front of the house side, is so difficult these days.
Well, I mean, what about when you hire new people? Well, are we not training them that way?
Part of it's having the people in place to actually do the training. One of the last restaurant I helped open up, what we did is we hired all inexperienced wait staff, people who had never worked in a restaurant before. And I took them from not knowing dick about it and taught them everything they needed to know. But my thing was, I didn't want them having the bad habits that come with prior restaurant experience, maybe with a chain or what have you.
Sure.
Because, you know, you don't want people like you see in the movie Waiting or something, you know.
Right.
I want, you know, if you do that job well, I told every one of these kids, because they're all college students or grad students, I told them all, I was like, you can make more money at this job than you will at your next job out of college.
Right. And that's true.
Yeah.
In fact, I was told that a lot of the guys or women that work at the Riata restaurant in Fort Worth, they go to college and they work there. And whenever they get out of college, they just keep working there.
Absolutely. I mean, hell, that was kind of what kept me in the restaurant industry for a long time is, you know, working through college doing that, and then realized I can make
good money.
Good money. And that's what always kept me coming back. I took a nice corporate job after I got out of school. I was working for a Fortune 500 company. It was great. I hated it. And I was like, I can almost make as much as I'm making right now doing something I enjoy. And I always enjoyed the restaurant business. So,
oh, yeah. And that's what it's all about, is doing what you love. And so back to my disappointment in a lot of waitstaff.
Yes.
Is the idea is, if you come over as a waiter or waitress and you say, yeah, would you like to try an appetizer? That's a strikeout every time. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I want you to come tell me about an appetizer, and then I want you to tell me how much that you love it so that I go, you know what? I want that. And then I'm excited about it. I'm not pissed that I got upsold. I want to try something badass that I've never tried before.
Absolutely. If I come up to you and say,
you waited on me and my wife, and you were fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know. I come up to you, I say, you want that? Tonight, special appetizer. I got crab, hand-stuffed crab wontons this evening with a house-made sweet and sour sauce.
Boom!
Guaranteed to knock your socks off. You're getting them.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, that, and you know, that's not how most, the general question is, would you like an appetizer?
Yeah. It's laziness is what it
is. Yeah, I want to spend 10 bucks on what, something I haven't even looked at on the menu. No, I don't. But no. If you come tell me about one of the great appetizers, and you know, it's, and that is kind of hard for the guys that work at the chains, because you know, their appetizers are the same all the time.
Oh yeah,
they don't change it up very often.
You want to try the triple dipper today?
Right.
Yeah, it's goofy. And you know,
would you like the heartburn sampler?
And I'm, you know, chain restaurants have their place and everything, especially right now with as many people as I know struggling, like mom and pops trying to get the business done. I'm going out to eat local every chance I get.
Speaking of that, I heard you went to the Ponderosa last week with three other Yahoos.
Oh, I sure as hell did. God, man, what a time, man.
Dude.
It was amazing. So a little bit about the Ponderosa. Ponderosa is a little restaurant inside of a little, Motor Court Hotel type deal. Outside of Snyder, Texas.
Yeah. I mean, if you weren't looking for it,
and we,
I mean,
were,
even if you were looking for it, you might not find it.
God almighty.
Because, I mean, we didn't even go in the front. There was nowhere to go in the front side.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was just kind of like a parking lot for a hotel, and it didn't look like the entrance to a restaurant.
Absolutely not.
And then when you went in, it really looked like my grandparents' house from the 70s. I mean, they had the old wall hanging paintings on the wall, with the 60s and 70s frames around the pictures, and I mean, none of the tables were the same.
Oh no, that's when you know you're in a good little local spot. None of the furniture matches,
right?
You know, the guy who told us to come in the door is the guy who's taking our order and cooking, and he's wearing every hat in the place. You know, his wife's helping him bring food out. Have you ever, in the history of meals, had a breakfast the size of what was presented to you on Saturday?
I've never had any meal presented to me on that scale.
Just the enormity of it. I mean, and we're not small people. Like, we are all hefty boys. We're all big guys.
And the thing about it is, I mean, when they brought that out, what was your first thought?
I mean, I believe I started laughing just because it was insane.
Dude, when I saw the butter slab on Brian's pancakes, I said, oh, fuck.
Oh, yeah. It was, there's just no, it was unconscionable how much food they brought out. And I don't know how they were able to sell us to us, like, because the plate was $20.
Right.
Which, $20 is a fair amount for a meal. I mean, you know, that's a, but that's enough food to feed. Once again, Sunday, my wife and I ate the meat from the leftovers because I took two to-go boxes home. We ate the meat that was left and still had a box full of pancakes and other sundry items. Like, how?
Yeah. I had the sausage and bacon and ham with my hash brown the next day. That was a lunch. That's how much food was just of that. I still had six strips of bacon, and ate six.
I know, right? So this thing, literally, people, we're talking, they had 12 pieces of bacon, three giant sausage patties, a ham steak the size of New Braunfels, Texas. Then you got hash browns covering underneath half the plate, and those pancakes you could play disc golf with.
Now, you were a chef. How wide were those pancakes?
Oh, those pancakes were a solid like 14 inches in diameter.
See, I was like, I don't know if they were 12 or 14 because they were, they were about like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, I've never seen pancakes that big. And then I picked it up like a tarp and lifted it up. And I was like, wow, that hash brown goes halfway under that.
Right? I mean, I asked the guy when we were paying out, I said, what are you using to flip those things with? I mean, you can't use a regular spatula for that. It's massive.
He's probably got like a garden shovel.
Right? I was thinking the Uncle Buck, remember? Yes. He's got the snow shovel in there.
Yeah, I love finding places like that. And you guys don't know, but me and Larry and Casey are going to start going to different food places once a month and chowing down.
Oh, absolutely.
On some special places, not just your, you know, no, there's no chains in this group. It's all going to be like, you know, those one-offs.
Right. I think the next one we decided on was Mary's out in Strawn, Texas.
Which is super famous. Have you been there?
I haven't met. I heard about it for years, haven't made it.
I haven't met anyone who hasn't been there in their lifetime, and I've never been there. Now, I was in Strawn one day for work. I went over to do a crew, and I was like, called somebody, and they're like, oh, you're going to eat Strawn's? And I was like, I mean, Mary's? And I was like, I don't know, what's Mary's? And they're like, oh my God, you don't know what Mary's is? And I was like, no, never heard of it. And so anyway, I ended up assisting this crew longer than I intended. And when I got done, it was like noon. Well, they opened at 11:30. Dude, there was at least like, it seemed like 40, 50 cars all the way around this restaurant. And I was like, oh, I'm not going in there now.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
And yeah.
So I missed my opportunity, but that was the first time I ever heard of it. And then whenever I told anybody I was in Strawn that day, they all asked me if I'd eaten at Mary's. And I was like, wow, this place must be famous or something.
Yeah.
And my wife even said, when we lived in Lubbock, my mom and grandmother would come get me. She was going to Tech, and they always stopped there and ate. I mean, just anywhere you go by that part of Texas, people stop and eat.
Oh, yeah. No, and it's, I mean, that, and I think that's our kind of goal in this little pilgrimage we're undertaking is trying to find some of these hidden food gyms in Texas, or not even not so hidden, just a little tucked away ones.
Right.
And giving them a fair shake and a little positive review and encouragement.
Now, I do have to say this. If I go back to the Ponderosa, I'm not getting that breakfast again.
See, what I want to do is get Ed to go with us next time. Our buddy, Professor Ed, is a, he's, how old's Ed? 70?
Two.
72? He's a tired.
Well, he just had a birthday. He could be 73.
So, yeah, tired guy, professor at a local university here. I want to put him in front of that plate and just see his eyes.
Let me tell you, though, the other plates were not small.
No, Larry's plate was a substantial meal.
I mean, yeah. I mean, like, I would say the portions are, they're almost like a double meal. We got a fiver.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody else just regularly gets doubles.
Yeah, when we were talking about the other people's food we were seeing brought out, the club sandwich that was...
Yeah. Dude, the club sandwich went all the way around the plate, double stacked, and then had fries, like, no kidding.
Yeah.
Big as that. Big as that.
I'd never seen fries cut like that before.
Me neither.
Just insane. And how friendly were the folks there?
Everybody there. All the staff. How many staff? Was it just him and his wife?
I think it was just him and his wife, and they were just the sweetest.
Oh, yeah. And, dude, so nice. In fact, I took a picture with Lewis.
Yeah.
At the end. I was like, you know, I walked in. I was like, hey, are y'all open? And he's like, yeah, come on in. And they start turning on the lights. And the funny thing is, I told him, I said, man, Google said you were closed. He's like, oh, no, we're open. And I said, no, Google said closed permanently. And he was like, oh.
Man, but as we're there, you know, we're the first table. I guess we're first or second table in there, really. And then people just start filtering
coming in. Yeah.
Man, and I understand
and
why.
Friendly people.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, good people.
Laughing at us for our tragic mistake of a breakfast. And he tried to warn us.
Yeah.
But, you know.
By yourself? And Brian's like, yeah, by myself. And then I'm like, yeah, and I'm having what he's having.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, I can't, you know, I've got to do it if they're doing it. And Larry's like, fuck y'all, I'm going to get a regular size meal.
Yeah, well, you know, Larry's a dick.
Well, it's so known.
Yeah.
But no, I'm excited about the next adventures with this and talking about and supporting some local places. And honest to God, I think it'd be cool if the Cigar Talk community gave us some feedback of places local to them that we might need to come check out.
Yeah.
You know, there's a place in Andrews, Texas that I've heard of. Do you know where Andrews is?
I do. Well, I don't know exactly, but I know it's out towards Midland.
Yeah, it's a little north of Midland there. Buddies, and they do steak fingers.
Really?
And they've been doing steak fingers since the 60s.
That's what they do.
That's what they do.
I'm down.
I mean, and...
I mean, I love steak fingers.
Right? I mean, and it's...
I assume they'd also do fries.
Yes.
And that's probably the meal.
And a salad. And if you want a salad, it's coming with French dressing and it's on the table. Like, I mean, that's the kind of place you're going to over at Buddy's. And, you know, little places like that. That's what we want to find. That's what we want to have fun with. And, you know, hell, none of us are scared of trying to eat. So
I'm not a quitter. I might get beat, but I'm not a quitter. Like, the Ponderosa beat me down.
Oh, absolutely. I'd like to see one of those.
What I was going
to
say is I would like to go back and eat something else on the menu that's not, you know, five people's food on one plate.
Absolutely.
Like, I'd love to have the fries.
Mm-hmm.
And then, those enchiladas look pretty damn good, too.
Oh, yeah. Enchiladas look good. Larry's Huevos Rancheros look delicious.
Like, and I don't know what the older gentleman behind you bought. Did you see what he was eating? I didn't see his meal.
I couldn't tell, except there was a half avocado on top of it. So, I mean.
Yeah, it was impressive. So, tell us about what else is going on. What's going on? What are you doing now? You're not in the restaurant business at all.
You know, not in the restaurant business. Barely in the cigar business right now. Right now, I hate to say it.
Do you have a set schedule at the Leaf, or do you just work whenever they need somebody?
Just when I'm just pinch hit nowadays. Okay. Like, Jay or Scott need a hand, I'll go in, fill out. And if I'm up there, I'm always happy to lend a hand as well, because I love those guys. They're family. So
right.
But I'm working for I sold my soul back to corporate life. I'm working for an oil and gas accounting company. Trust me, I'm not doing the numbers. I'm just the sales guy. You don't want me touching your books. But the people who work with me, amazing accountants, and we just do, you know, oil and gas stuff. It's boring for the most part. You know, hey, if you're a geologist or anybody listening out there, Petroledger, feel free to give me a shout. I'll send you a cigar. We'll talk business.
Nice. So... that's what you do, is just bring in
exactly
the oil companies.
Yeah, so I deal a lot with like smaller entities. You know, the big guys, the Devon Oils and stuff.
They've got their department
exactly. But your local West Texas geologist who's out there, you know, operating wells, doesn't want to dick around with QuickBooks or whatever. That's where we come in. We handle all that for you. It's you know, just taking a load off is what we're doing.
Cool.
Yeah.
And you've been doing that now for a year?
Yeah, 15 months.
15 months.
Yeah.
And so what's the next step for you guys as a company?
Well, we're already growing and continue to grow. We're hiring all the time. We've got offices in San Antonio, Tulsa, Dallas, and Houston.
Wow.
So, and I'm out here in West Texas. I'm the sales guy. I work remotely, so I'm just all
in
over
West
the place.
Texas. You're the guy
in all like for my company.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Yeah. That's a good thing, because
it's a great thing.
If you want to be right there with the oil companies, you're right where you need to be.
Absolutely.
I mean, where do oil guys? Where do you run into those guys?
Man, in Texas, just about every street corner. I feel like
right.
You know, they're all over the place. I mean, it seems like everybody, somebody in their family does something in the oil industry out here in Texas. So, you know, you'll meet people, I meet people all the time at the shop who are, you know,
in the oil business one way or the other.
Absolutely.
And then it just leads you to the next guy. Nice.
Yeah. So business is good. You know, oil's, you know, if the price of gas is high, it sucks, but that means we got a lot of people out working right now. So it's a turnaround good thing for the
economy. Oh, yeah, absolutely. See, I never bitch about high prices of gasoline, because the higher it goes, the more people go to work. Mm-hmm. And you see a huge difference in West Texas when there's nobody working.
Absolutely.
And so, I mean, you know, I don't want to pay $5 a gallon, but at the same time, I don't mind paying three. I mean, $2 to $3, it costs me an extra $15.
Yep.
I mean, for people to go to work, I'm down.
Exactly. I mean, and we're talking, that's why we're hiring more bookkeepers right now and accountants, is because the price of oil's up, more people are drilling, that means more people need to outsource their accounting. Like, it has huge ramifications just outside of the people you think
the
of.
The money's not just for the guys out there turning wrenches.
Exactly.
You're talking about, there's a whole culture, well, not culture, there's a whole world of people who are affected by the oil industry. Mm-hmm. And I think, and you know, with the oil industry, we've seen feast or famine, and it's always a cycle.
I mean, absolutely.
Ever since I was a kid, I remember oil boom, it's down. Oil boom, it's down. And we've seen that, shoot, my whole life. And it's, you know, you would like to see that it's going to be stable. But at the same time, I think, you know, where do we see the oil industry 20 years from now?
20 years from now, I think it's going to be fairly similar. 50 years from now, I think is when we're going to really start seeing that difference and shift of all the technologies that are being pioneered right now, really getting some traction and taking off. I mean, Tesla's cool and everything, but you still have to have the energy to power the charging stations. And where are you getting that from? You're getting it from fossil fuels.
Right.
For the most part.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you don't know that your electric company's using natural gas, mm-hmm. then you don't know. I mean, like, they're burning coal, but like right now, coal is getting some traction back. And that's what happens when oil goes up. Then coal is cheap enough to be used, but then whenever natural gas comes back down, then they don't use the coal and they Absolutely. Use the natural gas. So it's always a cycle. But you think it'll be 20 years? I mean, 50 years? I think 20 to 30.
I don't, you know, it really, here's the reason I think it's going to be 50. You know, there's been a lot of big talk in the, you know, geopolitical climate about making all these positive changes for the environment and everything. Nobody's actually doing dick about it yet.
Well, there's so few doing dick about it. There are a few. Like, I saw these guys who were doing these, like, water turbines out mm-hmm. in the ocean. And they move these big platforms out there and they set anchor. And the current that goes through, they have these things where the water comes through and it's yeah. just generating electricity. And, you know, but that's like what percentage of people in the industry are doing that? Like maybe a 0.002?
Yeah, it's going to take your major oil producers diversifying their portfolios in a substantial right. way to really bring that into the fold. I mean, we know that out here in West Texas with all the wind turbine stuff.
Right. I mean, the wind turbines, and I have mixed feelings on those.
I mean, I do too.
I mean, you know, if you guys have never been to West Texas, you've never seen wind turbines. And I don't know if you know this, but did you know, what is Sweetwater in what county?
Nolan County.
Nolan County produces more wind electricity than any other county in the United States.
Yep. There was a point in time where Nolan County produced more wind energy than the rest of the United States combined. Like, Dyess Air Force Base is powered by the wind energy out there. It was the first community in the United States to be completely powered by wind energy.
Well, you know what I don't understand, though? We keep putting more up. And right now, the grid is full. We can't put more electricity into the grid than what it will hold.
What I think people don't realize, because we still see the wind turbine blades and all this stuff, so people are assuming we're putting more up. We're not putting more up. We're replacing them. Because there is a finite lifespan, and that's the other kind of nasty, like, little secret.
That those windmill blades are made out of fiberglass, and there's no way to recycle fiberglass, so it's basically all going to landfill.
It's not even making it to landfills. There's Highway 70 just south of Sweetwater where I live.
There's a boneyard over there.
I mean, just huge. Like yeah. football fields and football field size, you know, just stacked on top of each other, just sitting out there.
And, well, they're waiting for a place.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that's a... I knew there was a company that was looking at opening in Sweetwater that came up with a way to recycle, And I don't know what happened, but they never did.
Yeah,
they
never were going to be
over there in the old aluminum smelter plant.
Mm-hmm.
And it never did happen.
Yep.
But I, you know, I was like, I hope that somebody will recycle that stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, we don't want to just have millions of those arms everywhere.
Well, and it's not a viable solution if we can't, you know, we're talking about, you know, oil and fossil fuels being bad for the environment. How bad for the environment is just, you know, throwing
trash,
you know, giant fiberglass windmill blades all over the landscape. It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. So, well, I think it would be an interesting thing to see. I thought we would be much more electrical by now. My dad said it will never happen. He said never.
Right.
And so I don't believe that. I've never believed that. But, you know, he was a lot older than me. So that was his mentality was, you know, gas and diesel forever. And I don't think that's the case. But I do think it'll be 30 years.
Right.
Because a lot of car companies are saying that by 2030, they're not going to be making gas automobiles anymore.
They're saying that, and we'll see. I mean, you know, be kind of cool, I guess. But, you know, once again, we got to think about all these lithium-ion batteries these cars are using, and how do you dispose and recycle of those?
I mean,
there are downsides to all these things, and I'm not trying to force oil and gas down anybody's throat. I want to find real, reliable, and reasonable alternative solutions.
You know where my stance is? I don't care what we use as long as I can get down to the leaf and not have to walk.
Isn't that the truth?
You know what I mean? I don't care what technology I'm using. I'm not pro oil. I'm not pro electric. I'm just whatever works.
Yeah. And
because we can adapt whatever to whatever technology, whatever system, but as long as it works, I'm not pulling for anybody.
Yeah. I mean, I happen to work for an oil and gas company right now. I also live in Sweetwater, which is the home of, you know, wind energy in our state. So it's, you know, I want everybody to win in some regard. And I think it'd be great if everybody could kind of pool their resources and their knowledge and see if maybe there's some hybrid, you know, technology that we haven't thought of yet that uses a little everything and makes something amazing happen. Who knows?
I'm still thinking we put hamsters in a wheel.
Yeah. Or we get that rickshaw and get Bryant to come help.
Yeah, there's a visual. So, well, hey, man, I guess thanks for coming on the show and being our guest.
Everybody,
we get our special guest, our mystery guest. And so thanks for coming in, man.
Dude, always happy to be here. I look forward to doing it again. Can't wait for our next
adventure.
Yeah.
November, we're going to Mary's and Strawn.
Yes. And, you know, I'm happy to come back anytime, and we can just do a quick little recap segment that you can put out there.
Hey, we'll call it the Meals on Wheels. We're on wheels heading to get meals.
Oh, good, good.
So, well, hey, man, thanks a lot for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll be right back after a quick break. Hey guys, welcome back from the break. Thanks for hanging with us. And we were both lighting up new cigars, and we happen to be smoking the same cigar. And I got to say, man, I've been digging this. Jay turned us on to them as part of the membership with the Leafs Havana Room. You get 2 free cigars in your locker every month, and Jay selects different ones for you to try. And this CAO Cameroon.
Perfecto.
Yeah. And I don't know what I did with the band, but did you notice the band?
Yeah, the band looks weird.
Yeah, it's one of those where you have, it's called the bikini band. Uh-huh. It has shows in the middle, the yep. tobacco.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I like it because it's a small smoke.
A quick smoke.
I don't know. It's not, it depends. You know, you're not going to smoke this more than 30 minutes.
Nope.
So, yeah, and that respect, it is a shorter smoke, but anyway, it's like a Grand Perfecto, but maybe miniaturized. I don't know what you would call that. The mini Perfecto,
but you know,
and it's a good
It's a good stick.
Yeah, it really is.
Light mine now.
I think in fact, this is like my third or fourth one since.
I wonder why.
Well, I did get a bonus one. I didn't know it, but Jay had left a bonus one for me in our locker. Or was that yours?
It was mine.
I thought, everybody else got one. I got two. Just so everyone knows, me and Bryant just share a locker.
Yeah, yeah. And we got ours, and I happened to notice, I was like, ooh, that little Grand Perfecto is missing. Nah, he asked me for it, and I was like, go ahead, man, because I was going to grab one anyway to try to see what it was about. And I got it, and I loved it, so.
And when I try a cigar a lot of times, I like to smoke at least two of them.
Yeah, because the first one may not give you everything that it has. And you take that second trip, you're like, wait a minute. I didn't see that the first time.
I didn't taste that the first time.
Oh, man, this is great.
I think that when you smoke a cigar once, there's no way you can give it a just trial.
No.
You know what I mean?
You got to take another ride with it.
I mean, you might get it and love it.
Yeah.
And then the next time be like, yep, it's great. It's great.
I understand.
But then on the flip side, you might smoke one and be like, it's okay. And then maybe the next time you smoke it, you're like, you know what? I was missing out on some of the different nuances. Notes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But it's a great stick. It's a great little stick, man. Can you see it? Yep. Tilt it forward. Tilted for
it. I blew my smoke through.
Yeah, there. Right through it. Oh, we saw. No, it's gone.
So anyway, man, how's it going as far as getting into the house and packing? And I mean, are you? How's the back patio? Is it smokable?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be smokable.
Nice. You gonna have a grill out there?
Yeah.
All right.
I have a smoker too, right, Larry?
Yes, you are.
Nice.
So I got my grill, and then he's going to generously give me his smoker that he doesn't use anymore. I was like, that's perfect. I had a smoker, but I left it when I came to Texas, and then my uncle kind of took it.
Possessed it?
Yeah. Oh, this is mine. I'm like, bruh, no, it isn't. Yes, it is. I got it from Mama's house. Yeah, because I put it in the garage when I left to go to Texas.
Yeah. Mama didn't bring that in here.
My grandmother didn't do that. I did. But I didn't, you know, it's okay. Yeah, go ahead. But in the end, now I have another smoker so I can do a little bit more cooking the way I like to when I barbecue.
Man, I'm excited to see what you got, bro. Yeah,
thank you, bro. I got you and Larry. Well, he can walk over because we're in the neighborhood now. Yeah, he gets
walking
enough of that bourbon.
The street.
He can walk home.
Right.
The bourbon trail.
Yeah.
That is cool. It's the where are you at on the bourbon trail?
Larry is the bourbon trail.
Most definitely, man. But it's at this point, it's going well. Like I said, I'm just finding a lot of stuff that I didn't know I had.
Yeah, man. And it's just taking up room.
No, it's not, because it's going straight to trash. Right.
That's what I'm saying. You got to get rid of it.
I'm like, I'm not taking this with me. I got 5 humidors. I found 2 in my closet. I was like, oh, I remember getting these. And I'm like, man, I got this. The Army, what's the name? And the one like that one.
Oh, yeah.
I don't need anymore.
Right.
I don't need anymore. So I was like, I'm going to find somebody to give them a couple of humidors.
Nice.
Because... I'm not taking a lot of stuff over. I don't like a lot of stuff.
I'm with you.
I'm a man. I'm minimal. You know, back in the caveman days, all we needed was a club and an axe that they made out of rock.
We're not minimal.
No.
We're mammals. Just break it on down.
I thought you were going to take that even further. But no. But it's just, I don't want all this stuff, man. I don't.
Yeah, I'm with you, man.
The biggest part of I'm finding I got more hats than I thought I had.
Are you going to get more hats, or
no,
are you good?
I'm good, and I'm giving some of these away.
See, I always knew that's why I don't collect hats.
Yeah, I'm taking them to the Goodwill.
That's why I don't collect hats, because it gets out of control.
It does.
When people know you as a hat person,
they give them to you.
That's what they do. And then next thing you know,
you got a million hats, and you're like, I can't wear all these.
Right,
I can't. So, I, like I said, I got a box now full of 40 hats. And I'm just going to tape it up.
Any of those 40 hats happen to be 49er hats? Nope, so you're not getting rid of none of those?
None of those.
Gotcha.
Those all are going with me.
Just want to see how your loyalty played out.
They're not going anywhere. They're going to the new house. But I'm just going to tape that box up and take it to the Goodwill. I got some clothes, too, because I'm a big guy, but I got, you know, I dress. I have to for my job. And a lot of stuff I ain't worn in a year, man. I'm like,
still
not
going to
wear it. And it's still good. I got 5 shirts still under plastic from, they came straight from the cleaners, and I put them in there, and they just sitting there.
Right.
And then when I went in and looking through, I was like, man, I ain't wore these 5 shirts in, I said, it's 2019 since I wore these. I said, well, they're going to stay in the plastic. They're going to the Goodwill.
They're called pre-COVID.
Yeah, pre-COVID
clothes.
Outfits. But it's just, you know, finding stuff that I didn't know I had and purging. Yeah, getting rid of a lot of stuff. But it's good because you don't want to take a lot of baggage into a home, into your new home anyway. Especially stuff I'm not going to use, because the garage right now is empty. I don't want it to look like garages I've seen.
Right.
Full of stuff to the point where you park your car outside the garage because it's full of everything.
Right.
Nah, bro. I can't do that. I can't do it. So it's just going back to I'm minimizing everything.
Now, is your wife on board with the purging?
Not for her.
That's what I was wondering.
I'm still going to wear this. I haven't seen you in this since I bought it 5 years ago. Well, and then, but see, well, my wife is shoes.
Really? She's a shoe woman. Well, you're a shoe guy.
Yeah, but I wear mine. I bought her a pair of red Chucks in 2011.
Uh-huh.
Do you know they are still bright red? They have not faded, and she hasn't worn them since 2012.
Are they out of the box?
No, they're still in the box.
Wow.
And I'm looking, I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah, me or my wife, neither one, we're like, let's purge. In fact, my wife is the one prodding me
to purge.
And I love purging. Yeah.
Look at the shed.
Yeah. I mean, and it's like, it's one of those things where I don't want to do that. But yeah, then when you do it, you're like, thank
you. You feel so relieved.
Yes.
You feel relieved going through it because you're like, yeah, I don't need that. And you just feel weights coming off your shoulders. Like, man.
Every time you dump some, you're like.
Every time I take one of them big garbage cans out to that trash can, I'm like,
right.
Yes. But everything other than that, it's just getting it done.
I know this show is delayed because we record a week in advance, but man, Texas A&M beating Alabama.
Dude,
let me tell you what, we came in and started watching that game. And, you know, I'm not a big college football guy because, you know, I don't have time for college football.
But you're a Texan.
Well, I'm a Texan, and so watching them play Alabama, who's ranked number one, yes, undefeated,
and
going against Texas A&M, who is 2-3.
Yes.
Or 3-2. And we sit down, and they're already ahead. I want to say they were already ahead 24-10. And I was just like, holy crap.
Can they hold it?
Well,
can
and they that's, hold it? And that's what me and my cousin Mark were like, Alabama's got this game in the bag. You know what I mean? It's not. There's no way because
you're going off pass.
Right.
We know them. You know, we know them. They can come back, especially when you're looking at Texas A&M being 3-2.
Right.
And them being undefeated.
Right.
Them still doing the same thing they've been doing for years and years and years. Yeah, they got it in the bag. Oh, well.
Yeah.
I'll
tell you what. Their defense really played. And the thing about it is, I didn't get to see the offense score the first 24 points. Uh-huh. So for three quarters, it was just the defense. Yes. Dude, for three quarters.
Doing to Alabama what Alabama did to everybody else.
Dude, I could not believe.
From A&M.
The defense playing as good as they did.
For A&M.
Yeah.
Against Alabama.
Right.
Now, they did that against, I hate to say it, Illinois. You know, teams that are trying to get to a point.
Right.
But Alabama's been established for a decade.
And then, of course, Alabama takes the lead, and you're like, it's over. You know?
But then they come back, and
they tie it, and yes, then they win it.
With the field goal.
With one tick left is when he kicks the ball. No, game over.
You're going back to Alama a loser tonight.
and the crowd stormed the field.
But did you see what happened afterwards?
No.
When they were storming the field, you know, certain coaches, when they go travel, they take state troopers with them as their security. So they're trying to run, what is his name? Alabama's coach. What is his name?
Brian Henson.
No. Alabama's coach. This dude said Brian. Who is Brian Henson?
I just made that up.
You see it. So they're trying to get him off the field. And, you know, all the A&M fans were rushing the field.
Right.
And this one girl was rushing the field. Man, one of them state troopers hit her with a stiff arm.
Oh, really?
Decleated her.
Like?
Decleated her.
Nice.
I'm like, oh, that's wrong. But that was so pretty. But it was wrong,
We'll have to YouTube
that. Dude, I was like, oh, that was wrong. But it looked so good. And he just kept on taking them on off the field. I was like, Sable. No, it ain't Sable. Forget it. Anyway.
It's not Saban.
No. Yeah, it is.
Is it?
It's Saban.
Okay.
Saban. They running, they trying to get him off the field. Dude just straight stiffed on. Boom. And she just went decleated feet in the air.
I'll have to Google that because I didn't get to see that. But I tell you what, dude, what a game. And then, of course, the Cowboys won the day. And you know what? As soon as I knew the quarterback was out, I was like, yep, they got it in the bag. I'm going to go take a nap. And then, you know, when you go take a nap, there's always that danger you wake up and they didn't lose. And that didn't happen today. You know what I mean?
You said danger they didn't lose.
Right.
Versus they lost.
Right.
I knew they were done when Saquon, did you see his ankle?
It was ugly. It was ugly.
Man.
I mean, I saw it when it happened and it's like, oh, that looked like that's not good. But then when you saw it with no sock
on,
it was a melon. His ankle was a melon. It was a gourd.
It was a cartoon.
Yeah.
I was like, woo. It was ugly. That's not good. That's not good at all. But when he went out, I knew they were done. And then the quarterback went right behind him. I was like, oh, Dallas got this one. But then they fought with him for a minute. But it was like Dallas had too much of a running game, man.
And that offensive line, that's, you know what? That's where the Cowboys are clicking right now. They have a healthy offensive line.
And that offensive line is making holes and holding people to allow Ezekiel.
Well, I mean, the guys aren't getting touched for 5 yards.
To do what they do, man.
If you're not getting touched for 5 yards.
Or getting touched for 5 seconds when you drop back. You can destroy somebody, man.
Yeah.
And you know, 44-20. What was it? 44-20?
Yes. And the thing about it is, I think it was 44-22. But anyway, regardless, yeah, I was like, Barkley goes out. The other dude goes out. And I got to say, the Cowboys played sloppy in the first quarter.
They allowed them to stay in the game.
They threw an interception.
Yeah. But see, that first interception with Dak, you got to chalk that up to that defensive end doing, because when he threw it, he just jumped and tipped it. And when he went in there, he was actually watching it the entire way, and it was only him and other Giants around there. So it was not like it was a Cowboy to knock him down to keep him from catching. So it just fell right in his hands. I count that one up to just strong defensive play.
Well, and then remember, wasn't there a fumble? There was another turnover, wasn't there?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what it was. I think it was a fumble.
Because they went down there and they didn't score.
Yeah, it was a fumble down on the, the fourth? No, the three. The three, because they drove 97 yards. That's what we're talking about. They drove 97 yards. But that one, I mean, you got to look at it.
Well, I was going
to
say.
When you try to do too much.
But when you're playing top-level talent,
which is the
not the Giants, you can't make those mistakes or you'll lose.
Well, you know, they got at least, six games where they can do what they need to do, which is three against two against the Giants, two against Philly, and two against who else is it at
the division? Skins. Well, no, Washington.
Yeah, you can't call them.
They don't go by that anymore.
Washington. So that's six games where they can, you know, they're going to win the division. So they're going to go to the playoffs. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Only team that would even give them a chance is Philly, and Philly don't even know who they are yet. They don't. So they
Philly's still, a long way.
Yeah, they still trying to figure out who they are.
And then let's talk about who the real competition in the NFC is. You got Arizona, the Rams.
You got Arizona, the Rams.
Those are the two right there.
And then you got, as long as this dude is playing, you got Tampa Bay.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So there's your four top teams
and then
in the NFC.
Green Bay.
Well, as long as they get a new kicker before playoffs. Dude,
five missed field goals in four minutes.
He had three of them. Yes, the other team had two.
But it's still five missed field goals.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And then he went to the other game and somebody missed a field goal on the other game. I was like.
But see, I don't see Green Bay's defense being able to handle the Cowboys offense. So right now,
they can't handle any of those other teams' offense.
I mean, they're playing Cincinnati today.
And Cincinnati gave them a run.
Yeah, it was close.
Because it was an overtime.
And so, but when you look at it, you have the Cowboys, Tampa Bay, you have the Rams.
And the Cardinals.
And the Cardinals. That's your four top teams in the NFC. And they're going to be tough.
Oh, yeah.
And to me, wow. I don't even know which one of those teams I say is the best right now. Is it Tampa Bay? Is it Cardinals? Is it the Rams?
Well, the Cardinals are still undefeated, and they've beat the Rams.
Okay. So it gives them a step up.
Yeah.
What about the Bucks? Have they lost?
Yeah.
Who'd they lose to?
I don't know who they lost to, but they lost. They're not undefeated.
Okay. So they're the only undefeated.
The Cardinals is the only undefeated team in the NFL right now.
And so now they're 5-0.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. So that really, I mean, that tells you what the division or the conference looks like, but those four.
Everybody was saying the West was the strongest conference in the NFC anyway because they thought that us and the Seahawks were going to be, you know, just like, well, the Seahawks were going to be like last year and we were going to be like 2 years ago. But the point is Garoppolo still can't stay healthy. And Seattle's lost Russ now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he had surgery on that finger.
No way.
You saw that finger?
No.
Three of them was pointing one way and the other one was going this way by itself. He was like, ooh, that don't look good.
And throwing hands?
Yeah.
Ooh.
And he kept trying to get back in the game. It's like, nah, sit down. And then he had to have surgery on it.
Should have cut it off.
Ronnie Lott, baby.
Cut it off.
Do I need it? No, cut it off. Let me get back in the game.
Well, you might need it on your throwing hand. I don't know.
Especially for a quarterback. But as a strong safety, you don't need it.
No.
You don't need it. But it's just a different league, man. That parity, which is what the NFL wanted, they have. And you just don't know who. You don't know who. Look at Kansas City. Did they win today? If they won, they're 3-2.
And if they didn't,
they're 2-3.
Right.
And you got Cleveland, which is either they're 3-2 or 4-1.
And you know, for the Chiefs, I don't think they've like gelled together.
It's the offense is good. It's the defense that can't stop anybody.
And
that's what everybody's talking about. As a matter of fact, they're playing now because they're playing Buffalo now.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, it's the night game.
And that's a tough game because Buffalo looks good.
Woo, you can't count.
I mean, when you look at the AFC, I put the Buffalo Bills near the top.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really keep up with the AFC, so I don't know the rest of the teams.
The Chargers.
Oh, the Chargers look good.
The Raiders were losing, but the Raiders were undefeated for a minute. They were like 3-0.
And then they played the Chargers.
And then they played the Chargers. You know? But it's just like, you don't know, man. You don't know. Going back to the college game, you got A&M beating Alabama.
Right.
What looks good on paper does not translate to the field.
Right.
It doesn't.
Because dude, let me tell you one thing, though. That stadium was rocking.
Oh, heck yeah.
Dude,
man.
When the defense was on the – I mean, when the opposing team's offense was on the field,
you couldn't hear nothing. I want to know what the seismic level was.
I would love to know, dude, because
– You know they were stomping.
Oh, they were just waving those towels and just yelling. And it, stomping and it was and just doing the level yes. was crazy.
Man, I was in Seattle Stadium before the new stadium when I was in the Army. And the 12th man, it was there then. And we were up top because they gave us free tickets because we were in the military. So we were way up high. That place was loud, man.
I heard that was a rockin'.
That place was loud.
Let me tell you this, though. At the A&M game, 108,000 fans.
Inside there.
Well, not inside, but yeah.
And all that yelling, all that screaming, all that hollering.
A whole nother tier.
Just for that. We want to make sure that everyone is heard.
109,000.
That's a lot for a college game.
I mean, the Texas stadium only holds like 93. Mm-hmm. and you're packing in another 15,000 people.
They're going to make Jerry mad. He going to add some more seats.
Now, did you see that Texas played OU in the Red River Shootout
and
game?
And it was winning and allowed them to come back.
Dude, they were kicking ass and allowed. And I was like, that's what happens when you take that early lead.
And you just rest on it.
Right.
You got to have that same fire throughout the whole 60 minutes of a game, man.
And that's exactly what I thought was going to happen with A&M, but they held on for 60 minutes. Yeah. So
they may have taken a cue from Texas and like, nah, we going to do this.
Right.
We just heard what happened to them. Nah, we going to do this. So it just comes down to that heart, man. And any given day, anybody can lose.
Oh,
Any given day.
So anyway, guys, before we go, I want to talk about our other two sponsors, which is Tabanero Cigars. It was two of your sticks.
Patriarchas.
Dude. And I can't wait to smoke one. I'm going to smoke one. In fact, I'm off tomorrow. I may smoke one.
You're going to love it.
And then look down the show notes, and you can go straight to their website and see what they have. Yes. Every cigar I've had, it burns amazing. Oh, it's like a beautiful
thing of beauty.
It is. Yeah. So look down the show notes. You can click that. Or if you want to try them, you can call Jay, and he'll hook you up. He's now carrying them down at the Leaf. And you'll see his phone number down in the show notes. And then we also have Case Elegance.
Case Elegance.
Dude, Case Elegance, I mean, when you're looking for, you know, when you're looking for the best, but you're not going to want to pay an arm and a leg for it.
Yeah.
It's like they have set the standard. I was telling Tim earlier at the Leaf. Uh-huh. The thing about it is, in order to get the quality humidor that Case Elegance makes, you used to have to find one, and it was going to be $400.
Yeah.
And now you can get one for $99. You can get one for $200, $250. And
it just depends on what you
want.
And
it's like you're not just buying a humidor. You're buying like an heirloom. You know what I mean?
Like I used to say.
It's an heirloom,
especially,
baby.
That Octador.
Yeah.
That looks like an heirloom. That's something you could pass. My army case is something I definitely would pass on to my son. And I know that he would enjoy it
right
50 years from now. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because it's going to still be that way.
I think as it ages, it'll be even better. Man,
imagine that ceiling. Bruh.
And the way they have it to where you set it up is just, I mean,
their
little booklet should be like humidification for idiots. Because we don't have to think. We just follow the four steps and boom.
Pictures.
Yes, pictures. They have pictures. And so if you were looking for a nice leather travel humidor,
people will steal it from
you. Oh, right out of your car.
Right, Larry?
So anyway.
It's still painful.
Anyway.
He's still going through that pain.
Yeah. But everything they have is just quality and beautiful, and the people behind the scenes, they take care of their consumers, man. That's one of the things that we look for in a sponsor. How do you take care of the people after they've bought your product? You know what I mean?
And they definitely ensure that they take care of whoever wants something from them. It's not just the quality of the product. It's also the quality of their customer service.
Right.
Because you call them up, they're going to be there and they're going to answer those questions. They're going to do whatever they can to make it right for you because they want you to be just as marketable for them as their marketing.
Boom.
And that's what they're looking
for. That's how all companies should operate.
Should be. That's correct. And that's what they're doing. So, hey, keep thumbs up, man. Thumbs
do
up,
what you do, Case Elegance.
Keep doing it, baby.
Anyway, man, that's going to wrap it up for this week's show. And until next time,
keep smoking.
Boom.